Jesus Christ, risen Lord, help me to speak from you and help us all to listen and to respond in a way that honors you. Amen. Please take a seat. Years ago, this summer, my wife Edda and I visited a local goldsmith where we live. We had just got engaged and wanted him to design special wedding rings for us. Now, I was still a student. Edda had just finished her training, so we really didn't have that kind of money. But we wanted our rings to be special, to reflect the immeasurable gift of the love that God has given between the two of us. Love does not count the cost. Love holds nothing back. Today we're starting a journey through the last chapters of Mark's Gospel, a journey with Jesus to the cross and to Easter morning. Our Gospel reading that we've just heard today takes place only a couple of days before Jesus' death, and we find him in a house in Bethany. Bethany is just a couple of miles outside Jerusalem, up the Mount of Olives and then over the hill. And Bethany was the place where Jesus always stayed when he was visiting Jerusalem. It was where his friends lived, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And from parallel accounts in other Gospels, we can assume that it was probably their house that this event took place. Maybe Simon the leper was their father. And we can be pretty sure that the woman who takes main stage in our story today, the woman who causes such a commotion, was Mary. They had just settled down for their meal when she approached him, broke an expensive alabaster jar, and poured the exquisite perfume on Jesus' head. I don't know about you, but I've got so used to this story that I tend to miss the outrageous, profligate waste that seems to be taking place here. Most people who know about the time of Jesus think that the jar and the perfume together represent at least an average annual wage. 1 year's earnings. Gone in a moment. Let's just say £20,000 in today's money. Wow. A friend of mine once received a very fine bottle of whiskey as a gift from a very well-to-do person. And so at the next opportunity, when he was together with friends, they broke it open and had a very nice evening. Halfway through the evening, they decided, this is a very nice whiskey. Let's find out how much it's worth. So they looked it up and they found out that they had just drunk the equivalent of a small family car. How would you feel about that? Ouch, they could have sold it. But of course, our story today is different. The woman knew what she was doing. Love does not count the cost. Love holds nothing back. I'd like us to notice two things in this story. Firstly, Jesus' relationship with women was revolutionary. He welcomed them unreservedly. He gave them worth and dignity, made them feel safe and loved. I think it's highly significant that in the month, when we think about 100 years since women got the vote in this country, we reflect on Jesus and his attitude towards women. At a time when the Me Too movement is uncovering the widespread predatory behavior of many men around the world today, we can safely assume that in our account, those who rebuked her were men, and that they probably were as scandalized by the apparent waste as they were by the devotion this woman showed to Jesus in such a public way. So here is a word to us men. If we are striving to become more like Jesus, we must scrutinize our attitude, our behavior towards women. Secondly, Jesus commends her for her actions. She has done a beautiful thing to me, Jesus says. In fact, Jesus predicts that wherever the gospel is preached, her seemingly irrelevant on the grand scale, her seemingly irresponsible action will be told too. And of course, this prophetic word of Jesus has become true again today as we reflect on this story here at St. Mary's. For Jesus' disciples, his attitude towards money was hard to understand. On the one hand, he commended the widow for putting half a penny into the donation box in the temple. And now he commends Mary for lavishing the equivalent of a year's salary on him. But of course, the underlying principle is the same. Love does not count the cost. Love holds nothing back. One of the biblical commentaries on this, on these verses, writes this. What the disciples said about the value of the ointment and the need of the poor was perfectly true. But Jesus looks for uncalculating devotion to himself rather than fine wisdom and balanced judgment in giving. Uncalculating devotion. Mary had experienced God's welcome in Jesus. And her extravagant response shows how deeply she loved him back. Of course, that doesn't mean we should waste the precious resources given to us as a church on unworthy causes. Of course not. What it does mean is that whatever we do as individuals and as a church together must be motivated by our deep devotion to Jesus. It's so easy for other agendas to creep in that have nothing to do with Jesus' character, Jesus' mission. In our story, Judas' agenda is most blatantly at odds with Jesus' mission, and so he decides to sell out, literally. But there were others who thought this wasteful act was going too far. Others who had different agendas. We thought Jesus was going to rid us of the Romans. Well, this profligate waste is not going to get us anywhere closer to that, is it? Or we thought as Jesus' disciples, we would get the best jobs in his kingdom. But now he seems to lose the plot, talking more and more about his death. And so he does. Mary's act of devotion is an opportunity for Jesus to point them to the center of his mission, that he will have to suffer and die and be buried. He says, "She poured perfume on my body to prepare me for my burial." Love does not count the cost. Love holds nothing back. That's what we see most clearly in Jesus. God's love for us is so immense that he takes the just punishment for our rebellion against him on himself. Jesus, fully aware of the utter terror of his mission, holds nothing back out of love for us. John 3:16 famously says, "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Faith is our extravagant response to Jesus' extravagant love for us. As we take Holy Communion today, that is our response. As I receive again what you have done for me, Jesus, I am giving you my all, holding nothing back. And our mission as a church is to be the extravagant welcome of Jesus in this world. To spread the aroma of Jesus, as our first reading put it. I had a conversation with someone a couple of weeks ago. He told me how as a young man, he was working in a company and several of his work colleagues were Christians. And he had some very robust conversations, discussions with them about matters of faith. They were Christians. He was not. But what made the difference for him later in life was when his mother died and he experienced the welcome and the love of Jesus through the local vicar and through the church family. He is still a faithful member of that church. We need to make sure that our own agendas don't get in the way of this awesome privilege of being the welcome of Jesus. What is our agenda as members of this church family? We need to be careful that we don't fall into the trap of the disciples. Make our own agenda more important than Jesus' agenda. The Christian faith is not about what we can get out of it. Although Jesus does promise us abundant life when we follow him. It's about being redeemed, rescued from our own selfish ways by the selfless example and the selfless sacrifice of Jesus. Love does not count the cost. Love holds nothing back. It's on this backdrop that we have shaped our vision as a church to pray, welcome, and share like Jesus. Many of you here today have contributed to this vision over the last year as we thought about leading our church into growth. Thank you for being part of that process, part of that journey. What we have got here in the document you see in front of you on the pews is something very precious. I'm excited about it. I hope you are too. And now is the time to make sure it's not just a lovely document that we bury under a pile of other things or display on a notice board at church. Although I do encourage you to look at the display at the back, which recreates what's in the brochure, but actually recreates it in a wonderful way. Those symbols have been created by our Sunday club and they look absolutely beautiful. So do take a look. But of course, we're now being asked to think what this will look like for us as individuals and as a church. The praying, the welcoming, the sharing like Jesus. And we won't be able to do everything at once. And this is, for me, another key lesson from our reading today. Jesus didn't say that looking after the poor wasn't a worthy goal. Of course it is. In fact, the early church was renowned for doing that really well. But at that point, what Mary did with the perfume was more significant. Loving God is about priorities. The ability to choose out of many pressing needs and to discern what God would have us do at this particular time. And pray, welcome, share helps us to do that. It's a helpful filter to make sure we don't smuggle our own agendas in. Sometimes you and I will be disappointed that something we think is important can't be done or can't be done yet. When you next ask, why isn't the church doing this or that? Can you please follow it up with another question? What is my true agenda here? And is it Jesus-shaped? And if the answer is yes, what can I contribute to make it happen? Today we are invited to respond to our church vision. As I said earlier, in your news sheets, you find a simple response form. If this is your church family, please take time to fill it in. You could do that in a prayerful way during Holy Communion today. There are pens in the pews, a letterbox at the back, or you could take it with you and take some time at home and then bring it back. But let's make sure we respond to God's extravagant love, which we see in Jesus. No matter where you've been, no matter what you have done, no matter what others think of you, he welcomes you again today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your extravagant love. Help us to receive it and then to be your aroma in this world. Amen.